podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I realized this morning that I have my work cut out for me because some of us were here at 7 o'clock, right? And then we had breakfast, and boy, that cup of coffee was a long time ago. And then we've got the children here this morning, too. And I don't know how you feel today, but it's kind of gloomy outside. And don't let that keep you from hearing this, okay? Because this morning, fortunately, we have the greatest message that has ever been given to mankind to look at. The fact that Jesus Christ is alive is the best news that has ever been heralded here in this earth. And you may have brought some good news at one time or another. You know, you went to tell your mother that you were going to have a baby. You know, or perhaps you had even greater news than that. You know, you have a new job. You have something exciting that you came home and you told your loved one, your parents. But see, and you were excited to tell that news. But I got to tell you something. That news pales in comparison to the news that Jesus Christ is alive. Let's talk about that this morning. Together, over a number of weeks, we have been talking about the bricks that make up the foundation of our faith as Christians, that we cannot live our lives as Christians apart from these foundational truths, the bricks of our life. And we've talked about these bricks one by one. First of all, there is an all-powerful, eternal, loving God who created you and created everything around you. Secondly, God has spoken to us, and we have His Word right here in the Bible. This is everything that He wants to say to us and communicate to us. Third, God created you in order to reflect His image. He created you to glorify His name in this world, to be His people. Fourth, you have chosen as an individual and we as a race to disobey God and to do things our own way, to go our own way, and our relationship with God as a result of that has been broken because of sin. God, in His timing, chose a nation and gave them His commands so that they would glorify Him. But Israel, that nation, failed to obey Him. But, you know, out of the poets and the prophets of Israel came a seed that was planted, a promise of an anointed one, a king who would come, a savior who was coming, not just for Israel, but for the entire world. And then the Son of God came from heaven and fulfilled prophecy by becoming a man and living a sinless life in this world, and His name was Jesus. And then Jesus gave His life on a cross in order that we might be forgiven of our sins. He took our sins upon Himself in order that we might be reconciled to God and have a relationship with Him. He is our sacrifice. And this morning, one more brick to talk about. Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day and walked out of the tomb victorious over death. He is alive, and His resurrection makes all of the difference in the world. It's one of the bricks that serves as the foundation of our faith. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we really can't live the Christian life. It's impossible. But what difference really does the resurrection make? I mean, Jesus was a good man who lived an exemplary life. He taught us some great principles about loving one another, about living in this world, about getting along with each other. He was a great man. He performed some amazing miracles while He was here in this world. And He made an impact on His followers that caused them to start the church that has spread all over the world, an amazing movement. Jesus is an inspiration to all of us. What does it really matter if He's alive or not? That's the question. What difference does the resurrection make? I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 12 to 19. That is on page 815 of your pew Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So what Paul says in this passage of Scripture is this: if Christ is not resurrected, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then your faith is meaningless. Nobody else is going to be raised from the dead if Christ is not raised from the dead, and we have no hope. It's not good enough that Christ inspires us. It's not good enough that Christ died for us. Those things don't matter if He is not alive. The Message version puts it this way: if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. Apart from it, our faith is really meaningless. You better believe it's important that Jesus is alive. Because if Jesus is not alive, then your faith is about as meaningful and useful and valuable as a fine automobile without any gasoline. If not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your faith is about as useful and valuable as a big screen plasma TV with all the bells and whistles and no electricity. If the resurrection is not true, then your faith is about as important to you and valuable as the latest tricked out smartphone without a battery. Useless, dead, makes no sense. Your faith without the resurrection is powerless. It's a charade. It's all just a game. What difference does the resurrection make? Well, let me show you from Scripture. The difference the resurrection makes is like the difference between burying and planting. The difference between burying and planting. What is the difference between burying and planting? Well, look with me. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 42 of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." So what the Apostle Paul says is that when we take this body after it passes away and we put it in the ground, what we're doing is we're planting the body. So what's the difference between planting and burying? I mean, they look the same, right? You take a shovel, you dig a hole, you take whatever it is you're burying or planting, you drop it in the hole, you take the shovel, you cover it up, and then you walk away. You've just buried it, you've just planted it. Same thing, right? What's the difference between burying and planting? It's the expectation. It's the hope. See, you can dig a hole, and you can drop something in it and cover it up and walk away. That's burying. And most of us, when we bury something, we hope that we will never see it again. That's the point, right? We want to get rid of it. That's why we bury it. That's what they do at the landfill. You bring your trash to the landfill, and they bury it beneath loads and loads of trash and dirt and hope that it miraculously transforms into something else, decomposes into gases. What else? We just don't want to see it anymore. I had a friend who bought a piece of land. And when he went to build his house, they began to dig the foundation, and guess what they found underneath the ground? A whole bunch of trash, a bunch of old car tires and car parts and all sorts of things, refrigerators, and it looked like it was a dumping ground for somebody. What an unfortunate thing for him, because he had to pay to have all of that junk removed from underneath the ground, because now it belonged to him. Somebody had buried all this trash, hoping to never see it again. Out of sight, out of mind. That's why we bury. But planting is different because it comes along with an expectation. See, you dig the hole and you drop something in it, a seed, you cover it up, and now you tend to that plot. You water it, you watch it, you wait, because there's going to be life, there's going to be growth, there's going to be fruit, there's expectation and hope. That's the difference between burying and planting. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul refers to death not as a burial, but as sowing, as planting. The resurrection is this foundation of hope for us as believers. We don't bury our loved ones in Christ. We plant them. There's a difference. The expectation is that there's going to be new life, there's going to be resurrection. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, those who trust in him will also be risen from the dead. We're not buried, we're planted. That's why I kind of like the Moravians. They have this name for their cemetery. It's just called God's Acre. God's Acre, which means the field of God. It's like this is God's garden. This is where he has planted those that he loves, and they will come back to life, and they will grow, and they will rise again. God's Acre. Now, we call it the cemetery. We tend to call it the cemetery, which comes from a Greek word, koimeterion, which actually means the sleeping place. You know? So the next time you say the word cemetery, remind yourself what I'm saying is it's the sleeping place. And you know, you're still expecting something. When someone's asleep, you're expecting that they will wake up. There's still that expectation in sleeping, just as there is in planting. That's the difference the resurrection makes, the difference between burying and planting. But it also makes the difference between Adam and Christ. These are two very important figures in Scripture. Adam, of course, the first man created by God from the dust of the ground in his own breath. And Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world born of a virgin. But what is the difference between Adam and Christ? Look at, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And then skip down to verse 45 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And is the man, and as is the man from heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. The difference between Adam and Christ. Adam was given life by God. Christ, Jesus, the second Adam, he gives life to all who put faith in him. Adam is natural. Jesus, the second Adam, is spiritual. Adam comes from the earth. Jesus, the second Adam, comes from heaven. We're born as human beings in the likeness of the first Adam, but we're born again when we put faith in Jesus Christ in the likeness of the second Adam. Adam, the first Adam, disobeyed God. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, obeyed God fully, completely. Adam represented the entire human race when he fell into sin. Jesus, the second Adam, represented the entire human race when he died on the cross for our sin. The whole world follows in the footsteps of the first Adam, disobeying God and dying in sin. But Jesus obeyed God. He took the sin of the world upon himself and he died on the cross, and then he rose again from the dead. So what difference does the resurrection make? Well, if Jesus is not alive, then we're stuck in our sin and we live as the first Adam. The sin, the disobedience, and the death, just like the first Adam. But Jesus is alive. And so we are free to trust in him and to live in the forgiveness and the righteousness and the life of the second Adam. So who's your representative this morning? Who do you associate yourself with as a human being? Adam or Christ? The first Adam or the second Adam? Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass, the sin of the one man, that's Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? It's the difference between life and death. The Adam life is a life of rebellion. It's a life of worldliness. It's a life of selfishness and darkness. The Christ life is a life of faith and godliness and obedience, righteousness and light. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a difference because the curse of the first Adam is taken away by the resurrection of the second Adam. And if there is no resurrection, Jesus is not alive, then we're still under the curse of the first Adam. But because Jesus is alive, we are no longer under that curse. We have new life. So the sinful act of the first Adam was the beginning of the old creation. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the beginning of the new creation. I don't know about you, but I associate myself with the second Adam. I put my faith completely in him for salvation, and his resurrection makes a difference because apart from him, there is no life. So what difference does the resurrection make? Well, it's the difference between burying and planting. It's the difference between Adam and Christ, and also it's the difference between pointlessness and purpose. Look at verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse of that chapter. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What's the difference between pointlessness and purpose? Well, it should be apparent. I mean, this verse says, therefore, on the basis of the resurrection, because Jesus is raised again from the dead, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let the rock that was rolled away be your cornerstone. A beautiful song I heard a number of years ago. Let the rock that was rolled away be your cornerstone. Let that be the brick upon which you stand. Stand firm on the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, and because he is alive, we have life. Then Paul says, let nothing move you, no matter what shakes you, no matter what temptations come, no matter what sin, no matter what illness, no matter what happens in your life, in the life of your loved ones, let nothing move you. Stand firm. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. And because we have hope in him. The resurrection is a firm foundation, and there is nothing in this world that can shake you when you stand upon the firm foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now here's where the purpose comes in. Paul also says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that when you work for the Lord, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In other words, everything that we do for Jesus has purpose and meaning and eternal significance, and it matters. Everything we do for him, because he is alive, your labor is not in vain. Now, what difference does the resurrection make? Think of all of the things that we do in the name of Jesus. Okay, all of the time that we spend studying his word because we believe in him and we want to learn. Think of all of the times we come together for worship and we sing and the choir rehearses and we do cantatas and we do Sunday morning special music and all of this worship that takes place. And then think about the fact that we leave this place and we worship him. We have children's ministry, we have youth ministry, we man the nursery, we keep this building up and we give money into the offering plate and we support missions and we get involved in mission projects and we feed the hungry. We wake up every morning and we pray to God on our knees and we want to live our lives for him, serving him with our whole life, looking for opportunities to do his will, looking for opportunities to love others throughout the course of our day, visiting the sick in the hospital, spending time with those who have lost loved ones. All of these things we do, sharing your faith, of trying to avoid sin, trying not to fall into temptation. We do this for Jesus, all of these things. It's trying to secure justice for others and to live in a world where people can serve God. Think about all that we do for Jesus. If Jesus is not alive, It's all just a colossal waste of time, energy, money, resources. We're just thrown in a hole. It's meaningless. It doesn't make any difference at all if Jesus is not alive. That's what the Apostle Paul says here. Because Jesus is alive, he says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If Jesus is not alive, your labor in the Lord is meaningless. It's pointless. It's purposeless. It's nothing but a huge joke. But Jesus is alive. He is alive. And so we study his word in order to be filled with his truth. We worship him because he's alive. And he receives our worship gladly. We train our children and our youth to follow after God so that they can live a productive life for him all the days of their life. We keep up our building as a house for people to come and to spend time as family of God and to worship him. We serve meals. We give money. We support missions. We get involved in missions. We do all these things because we have a living God who cares. And we want others to know about this living Savior that they might have life too. And then we wake up each morning, we pray to our living God, and we ask him to bless us and to give us opportunities throughout the day to love those who are around us because we have a living Savior who lives within us. And we can't do anything else. If the living Savior lives within us, we are the body of Christ. There's nothing that we can do except to serve him and to love others because that is what we do. We are his body. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us purpose and meaning and direction and life. If he is not alive, then everything we do is pointless. It's meaningless. But he came out of the tomb. And so we serve a living Savior, a living God. The resurrection is a solid brick in the foundation of your faith. So this morning we proclaim, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, and that truth makes all of the difference in the world. Now, what difference does it make to you? Personally, what difference does it make to you that Jesus is alive? I'm afraid for us as believers in Jesus Christ and as a church, if we can walk away and say, really doesn't make much of a difference. The fact that Jesus is alive hasn't changed me at all. I'm just living my life the way I want to live it. Whether Jesus is alive or not doesn't matter. If that's the way we live our lives, we're in trouble. Jesus is alive. And so we live his life. His life is poured into our lives. And we are his body, and we do his will, and we are his people, and we are his church. We are his ambassadors. We are created to reflect him. And we love him with every fiber of our being. We do what he has called us to do, and we are who he has called us to be. So you want to live your life like the world, like everybody else lives their life, as if Jesus is not alive? That's not Christ-like living. That's not standing upon the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ has offered us power and life and hope and purpose. So this morning, I say, grab onto the truth that Jesus is alive. Don't let it just be a dusty old fact in a book. Don't let it just be something we talk about on Easter morning. Let it be the foundation upon which your life is built. Let the rock that was rolled away be your cornerstone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning and for the truth that we have a Savior who is alive. And Jesus Christ came forth out of that tomb. He was seen by many of his followers. He touched them. He ate with them. He spent time with them, and then he ascended to heaven, and he is seated at your right hand. And that same Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming again to judge the living and the dead. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that the truth that Jesus is alive would shake us to the very core, that it would be the meaning and the purpose for our lives. Lord, that we would recognize that because Jesus is alive, that those who are buried in our cemeteries aren't buried, they're planted. Father, that they will live again. Those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be raised by Him. Father, how we look forward to that beautiful day. But Lord, we also recognize that because Jesus is alive today, it matters now. It matters how we live our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to look deep into our hearts, to recognize the sin that we allow to continue in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we see how far that we have slipped into patterns of sin, falling to temptation one after another, and help us, Lord, to recognize that that's not the way that You've called us to live. Father, You have called us to live the resurrected life, a life of power and purpose, a life of following You and walking in the light. Help us, Lord, this Easter morning to be challenged, that we might be transformed to be new creatures as Jesus was transformed as He stepped out of that grave. Help us, Lord, to walk with You in the light and the power of resurrection. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.